Well, today we want to Lord, I just pray that you will prepare our hearts, prepare my heart to receive. I come against every power of darkness that would try to interrupt or interfere with this word going deep into our hearts. I pray that you would just massage it into our understanding. Transform us today, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God so loves you. Last week, we weren't able to meet because we try to comply with the laws when we can, and they say only emergency travel. And although personally, there are many times when it's an emergency to get to the Lord, but fortunately we can get to the Lord anywhere all the time. But there should always be an urgency in our hearts to commune with God. There should be an alarm that goes off whenever our urgency diminishes. There should be in us such a hunger for God that we always feel like we've been fasting. And God is the first thing in our mind. You know, it's like I find that when I fast, when I don't eat, it's fine. When I fast, everything calls to me. The refrigerator opens just a little bit and shuts itself to remind me that it's there, it seems. And I have to be quick to remove those desires or they will turn into a, I'm sorry, Lord, I was going to fast, but I grabbed that food without thinking and now I'm eating it, you know, and then we have the conversation of whose fast is it? You'll be all right. And the urgency. Is he the first place we go in an emergency? Is there an urgency to get close to God? And as I said in that little thing that I sent out, just that little note, it was, if there is no urgency, then we must not know him. Because when we know him, there's an urgency. And that's not to condemn or to say anything against anything. It's just to make us aware that it's a necessity. It's necessary. That's why I have different alarms set on my phone to remind me that it's necessary to get someplace, to remind me that something is coming up, to remind me when it vibrates, then I know that there's something going on. Toward the end of church, this will begin to vibrate and it will be telling me that I'm going to jail today. I already know that, but it will remind me. And then I will calculate how much time I have left and I will decide whether or not I will end up having to call them on the way and say, just keep them ready, I'll get there, I'm just running a little late. But the urgency, the desire to be reminded. We tell people, remind me of something. We think of it and we say, remind me of this. And we hope that they'll remind us. But we need to have it deep in ourselves too. And so today, God so loves you is a reminder. But I've discovered that sometimes reminders can be revelations as well. On February the 9th, we went up to see our grandson for his birthday. January the 9th, yeah. We're in February. It was in January, okay. Man, it's been a month already. But anyway, and I had agreed to sub that day. But it was to sub later in the day. It wasn't at the normal time. So when I looked at my calendar, yeah, we should be able to go up there. We had things to take care of and stuff. And But the Lord reminded me, I believe, early in the morning, I'm going, oh, Vicki, I promised to sub. But my alarm didn't go off until we were just about to Aberdeen, because that's the time I was supposed to be there. But because I was reminded, it was urgent for me to make the necessary arrangements. I had already loaded up and tied down furniture in the back of the truck, parked it in the garage. I mean, it needed to go. They needed to find somebody else, but I needed to make sure they could. And an emergency became urgent, and I began praying and calling, and it worked out. But the thing is that we have things to remind us, and there was an old song that said, there's always something there to remind me. Oh, you know, Jose Feliciano, I was born to love you. What a worship song. That's what I was born and made to do, was love the Lord. There's always something there to remind me. The Holy Spirit is always there to remind us. The thing is that in order to be reminded, it has to be something that we were mindful of in the first place. I am mindful that Sunday mornings I come here. And my wife will tell you that it's not easy to get me not to. To say we probably better stay home because of the storm is difficult. And I had to go through a thing. And there was a time 27, 28 years ago when I remember those that could walk in from town, we walked in and had a little service together. The ones that were in town. And later we've had times where I'm sure that we drove on roads we shouldn't have been driving on so that we could get together. I can remember a time when we met in the auditorium and Linda came under the blanket and laid down in the back row because she didn't feel well. She came to get healed. An urgency, but if we lose that urgency, it's because we fail to be mindful of the importance of the things of God. And the enemy can convince us, well, you know, it's not a big deal. I will tell you, it's a big deal. It is. No, it was not an emergency that we had it, but I pray that somewhere in your heart there was an urgency to just a longing. Oh, Lord, I wish we could. You know? I'm not condemning you if you didn't have those feelings, but I'm going to ask you, why not? Why not? Because we know in our knower, down deep in our hearts, we know it's the most important thing. Forbid not the fellowshipping together of yourselves. So we know, why? Because there's something there when we get together. God's there. Oh yes, He's there when you're driving in your car, you know. Bob Dylan song, it'll stone you when you're driving in your car. I found that the Holy Spirit stones me when I'm riding on my wing. You know, the presence of God, there's no high like the Most High. I mean, He's the real thing. And when we have an urgency for that real thing, guess what? He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. I want to be filled and filled and filled with God. But I need to be mindful of that. And I need to be mindful that He's the answer when I'm not acting like He's the answer, when I'm failing to seek Him, when I'm failing to find Him. But if I'm mindful of Him, I will bounce back to that. I will be reminded of that. The alarm will go off. Hello, Roger. But if I push Him aside, if I ignore that, then I can become pretty laid back and pretty complacent, and you know, it's okay when I have time, and if I don't have time, that's fine. You know, let's see, well, we've been worshiping about long enough. I think I'll just go to Peter, they'll pay attention there. No, that's not how I feel. But oh, I'm going to tell you, there are not so heavenly voices that speak to you. What's important? I gave Sonia a tiny bit of a hard time last time I saw her. I said, you should show up when church is going on. Don't bring your dog in at the end of the service. Leave the dog in the car. You need to come to church. I think if she wants me to show up at her wedding, she might want to listen to me. Or I could come in a half hour after it starts. Dorn could have taken it over. All I got to do is do the last part. If I decide to show up, depends on how urgent it is to me. That's not merciful, is it? But you know, it's a fact. We need to think about those things. We need to consider those things. Well, here's the deal. I'm convinced that the reason that we don't consider those things is because we don't understand how much God loves us. Because if we understand, when we understand how much He loves us, then we start loving Him back. When we understand that God isn't, you know, He's not like a fireman that just, you know, rescues people so that they will be forever, you know, owing Him. He rescues them because He loves them. Cares about them because He loves them. I got up early this morning, then I went back to bed. God said, just go back and focus on loving me. So I was just focusing on loving Him. Then I was thinking about loving Him. And then I was trying to think of when our relationship morphed into a thing of me not just holding on to try to get somewhere with Him, to a place of relaxing and getting up on the skis and letting His love carry me and my love carry me to Him. You know, it's like you have wireless mouses and wireless keyboards and wireless this and wireless that. And you know, and there comes a place where with God where faith pulls us along. And there's no strain and there's no stress. And it's like going from water skiing to snow skiing and learning how to just get on the chairlift, and it just carries us up. Where it comes to that place, because I didn't start out in love with God. I started out rescued, being pulled. And it wasn't until later that I realized how many times, you know, when you water ski, when people are learning to water ski, they get about 2 feet, and then the boat comes back around, picks them up again, and comes back around, and picks them up again, and comes back around, and picks them up again, until they can finally get on the skis and go, you know. But when I finally realized that God was the way to go, I felt like if I let go, I would sink. But later I realized, when I look back now and I see how many times the boat came back around to try to pick me up. As a child, the boat came by. And didn't even take the rope. And later there were many opportunities and I didn't take the rope, but this one time, it was like I got snagged. And I wanted to make sure the hook didn't come out. But there was some point in time, some point, I don't know where, I can't tell you the day, I can't tell you the moment, but there came a time when the pressure was off and love was carrying me. And it had to be simultaneous with the time that I realized God so loved me. That's the thing that people, you and I, need to gather, is how very much God loves us. He died to love us. He loved us so much He died. And now He's dying to love us some more. And just to love us and 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 be loved by us. We love Him because He first loved us. If we don't understand that He first loved us, the love won't develop. From the time my children were little, I said, my faith won't take care of you. You gotta have it yourself. If you don't understand why I'm so crazy, get crazy on your own. Find a way. Find a way. Please don't find it the way I found it. Don't find it by having so much to be forgiven for. Thank God that He's keeping you from needing all that forgiveness because He loves you so much. But He loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves me. We just had Valentine's Day, you know, the reminder that the world has to love people. God's got one for us every day. Love. But if we don't love God, we won't be able to love anybody the way that we can. And until we know how much He loves us, we don't even have the right kind of love. But once we understand, He loves me. He loves me. When we understand that He loves me, I think that's where we really are born again. Because once we understand that He loves me, then we can see the kingdom of God. We can see that the kingdom of God is not sitting in church, although we love to do that because we worship together and we think on God together and we sit. I mean, you can sit here listening to me and pretty soon hear something from God and you might not hear another thing I say. Praise the Lord. Because that seed will just be going on in you. And if you get something like that, write it down. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your thinking. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll bring anything else up to you that you needed to know. But let it build up in you. If you just find yourself sitting there, God loves me. I need to know how God loves me. I need to know. I need to know God. I need to know. I need to understand. I need to comprehend. I need it, Lord. I just know that I need it. I don't understand what it is, but I need it. If that goes on in our minds, man, we are on a mission. Because we're so close. So close to breaking into the kingdom and seeing, oh, He loves me. He loved me. Now I see that there's nothing He wouldn't do for me. Now I understand that it wasn't just words that Jesus was saying when Jesus said, hey, if my word abides in you, you'll ask the Father anything, and anything you ask Him, He'll do for you. And with childlike faith, we'll say, hey, that's what Jesus said. I don't need somebody to say, well, it just depends on how you hold your mouth or how you walk or what you did that day. That doesn't have anything to do with it. What it has to do with it, if you believe God, if you trust God, God's God. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And He doesn't have to have done it for others for me. I want Him to do it for me. Then somebody else can say, if He's done it for you, He'll do it for me. There's nothing wrong with being first in the kingdom of God. If that's what God decides. We watched a movie, our Blizzard movie, I guess it was, Faith Like Potatoes, and you know, and it was so cool. I sat there and I thought, man, because this guy, one of the farm workers had died, and he walked in, picked her up, said, live, and she came to life. And then his little nephew got run over by the tractor, and he was a basket case. He never prayed. About all he said was, God, why? Rather than live. And I'm sitting and I'm going, what's wrong with this? Different situations, different circumstances. Not thinking. It turned out all right. But I'm sitting there going, oh man, he just practiced on that woman that died. He's going to bring that boy up. Trusting and knowing and loving and depending and expecting. That's what God wants from us. You know, Peter followed Jesus around. Peter was given the power to go out and heal people. He was given the power to cast out devils. He went out and he did those things. And he came back and feeling pretty frisky about it. But still trying to figure out, man, what's going on? You ever notice that when you read? When you read the Bible, you realize that they were following Jesus. And when we would think, my goodness, how could they not know? They were asking stupid questions. But they were learning. They were learning. They were going along. You know, I mean, Peter, he got the word from God, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, man alive, the revelation of a lifetime. And the next moment he was telling Jesus, "Now you can't do that." And he went from, "God has given you this word," to, "Get behind me, Satan." And when he assured Jesus that others might desert him, but he'd never desert him, Jesus said, "Oh no, you'll go the extra mile. You'll deny me. You won't just disappear." It would have been good for Peter to just disappear, to just get away from everybody. But oh no, he went and proved the prophecy. "I don't know him. I don't know him. Blank, blank, I don't know him." And when Jesus came to him, he just asked him a simple question: "Do you love me?" That's all Jesus wanted from him. "Do you love me? Will you love me? Do you understand that I love you so much that I just died, I was raised from the dead, in between those, you denied me 3 times, and I'm back here loving you? Do you love me?" All of us, in one fashion or form or another, in our walk with God, determined to be faithful as can be, have somehow or another denied him, doubted him. And when we do, all he does is come and say, "Do you love me?" "All I want is for you to love me." And if we're honest, we say, "Man, I don't know how to love you. When we first come to an understanding of believing in God, we don't know how to love him. But we want to. I mean, we want to. And sometimes we work so hard at trying to figure out how to love God. And yet the Word says, before we can figure out how to love God, we need to figure out how much he loves us. We need to believe everything that he said about what he would do for those who would love him. We need to recognize that he already has his part done. He's already done his part. He already loves me enough. He loves me that much. He cares that much. Well, how could I not love him? Then we're free to get to know him. Because you see, you love somebody as you know them. Now, you can lust for somebody without knowing them. You can covet what they have without knowing them. You know, people might try to get close to somebody that has a lot of money or can provide the job or provide something for them just because they can get something out of it. Last night, watching a TV program, a woman became jealous of her husband because she was convinced that he was having an affair, and she murdered him. In the end, it turned out that she was convinced that he was going to take another woman on a dream vacation and found out that the other woman was the travel agent who was helping him plan her dream vacation. Many times people confuse the way that God loves them and think that God has forgotten them. and because of things that get in the way, because of obstacles that come up, rather than the urgency to get to the Lord and just keep believing God no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, they desert their first love and suddenly they're trying to take things into their own hands and forgetting that, wait a minute, He loves me. On Wednesday night, as we were watching, I said a little bit about it afterwards. You know that I love what John Bevere is teaching, but he forgot a very important part of that, talking about Joseph. Because Joseph experienced great faithfulness from God and great encouragement from God through all of that time. Waiting for the dream, yes. But he was in the pit ready to die and brought out of the pit. Made a slave and made the boss of the slaves. Thrown into prison and made the boss of the prison. God's favor is always there, even if everything doesn't look perfect and everything isn't just the way that we want it to be just yet. When we love Him, when we know that He's working for us, we know it'll be okay. And then when we trust Him and we know it, then we seek Him and we say, Lord, what is my part? Sometimes my part is just wait. We don't necessarily like just wait. Sometimes just do this or do that. We don't always like do this or do that. Sometimes we're hard to please. But God's faithful. God is faithful. And He loves you. And you need to nurture His love for you. And then you need to love Him back and nurture the love for Him. Because that's all He wants. And out of that love, we end up with a river of life flowing out of us. Because He loves me. He just loves me. He doesn't keep a record of my wrongs. I don't have to earn it back a step at a time. It's just one simple step. God, forgive me. Even before I say, God, forgive me, He's been loving on me. He's been loving you. You've been neglecting Him. You've been rejecting Him. He's been loving you. Isn't that something? People try to make God out to be the abuser, and God is the abused. He never abuses anybody, but He gets abused. He gets neglected. He gets rejected. He gets lied about. I mean, if you say God doesn't care, you're lying. If you say God's forgotten you, you're lying. If you're saying God made me sick, you're lying. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you're lying if you agree with it. So if you're going to set your heart to do anything, set your heart to know His love and to love Him back. Just enjoy your relationship. And out of that will flow the life that God has. Out of that will flow the understanding of the kingdom. Out of that will come the entrance into the kingdom of God. Out of that will come the simple trust that says, you know what? Jesus said, ask, so I'm asking. He said, don't worry, but pray, so I'm not worrying, and I'm praying, and I'm thanking Him for what I'm praying for, because He said to do that. I don't have to understand anything except that God loves me. And because I know that He loves me, I'm going to love Him. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The love of God. It's not what the world needs now is lust. What the world needs now is love. The love of God. Amen. Lord, you do love us. That's just a fact. Because you said you do. Help us, Lord. Clear away the debris and the things that block us from a deeper understanding of your love for us so that our hearts are set free and we will love you the way that you desire to be loved and most certainly deserve to be loved. And out of that love will be such power for the kingdom of God. Our lives will be transformed and the lives of those who see our lives transformed will be affected. And they too will behold your glory. Make this so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.